Well, take your sword, if you would please, and open with me to the Gospel of John. And if you're visiting with us, we welcome you, and I'll give you two hints if you're visiting with us. Of course, if it's possible, and if the Lord wills, we'd love for you to stay and keep coming. But you're going to have to love to sing, because we like to sing here. And you're going to have to love the Scriptures. Okay, we love the Word of God. This is where God speaks today. He speaks to us through His Word. Some of us, you know, the hair kind of goes back on the, or up on the back of our necks when we hear someone say, "Oh, the Spirit was saying to me the other night as I laid in bed." You know why that's kind of a little not so right? Because the canon of Scripture is closed. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The way that the God of heaven speaks to us today is through this, His living Word. So if you haven't yet, take your Bibles and open with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. And I want to ask you a long question, so if this question is true of you, I want you to say amen. It's kind of a survey, but you need to listen closely all the way to the end, okay? As you're opening to John 7. If you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have heard that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, if you have heard that Christ, in order to save sinners, lived a sinless life, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. If you have heard the good news that Christ paid the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross. If you have heard that Jesus Christ then rose up on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He showed Himself alive to countless witnesses by many infallible proofs. And you've heard that Christ has ascended back into heaven, where even now He sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for His people. If you have heard that Jesus Christ is coming again, and you have heard that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins, if you have heard that, and you have believed that, and if you tell others about that, I want you to say amen. 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 Good. Praise God. That is a good survey response. If it wasn't you, if you didn't say amen, I wonder if it's because of the last thing I said, right? We need to be about proclaiming Christ to a lost and dying world. And we need to know how to respond when the world responds to us in unbelief. Our text for this morning is John 7, 11 through probably, well, we'll see if we get to 19. And the title of the message is Responding to the World, Part 2. We began our study this last week and we'll continue today. And what I want you to go home with is three answers that the world needs to hear. Three answers that the world needs to hear, the unbelieving world. Let's begin at John 7, verse 11. Then the Jews sought Him, or they were seeking Him at the feast, and they said, "Where is He?" Now, they weren't looking for Him for a good reason. They wanted to kill Him. Verse 12, and there was much complaining among the people concerning Him. Some said, "He's good." Others said, "No, on the contrary, He deceives the people." However, no one was speaking openly of Him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and He taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" Jesus answered them. This is going to be our focus for this morning. Christ's answer to the unbelieving world. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." And let's stop there. Let me remind you of the context here. The Spirit of God is showing us first how the world responded to Jesus Christ and His teaching. We saw that last week, right? And the response was unbelief, manifested in various ways. In verse 11, recall, we saw hate. The Jews were seeking Him, saying, "Where is He?" Why? Because they hated Him. And why did they hate Him? Because He testified of their deeds that they were evil. And then we saw complaining and debate in verse 12. There was much complaining among the people concerning Him. Some said, "He is good." Others said, "No, on the contrary, He deceives the people." We see the same response in the world today, complaining and debate about Jesus Christ, but it's an expression of unbelief. We saw fear, verse 13, however, no one was speaking openly of Him for fear of the Jews. People were afraid to talk openly of Christ, and I hope that's not you. People were afraid of what would happen to them if they spoke openly of Jesus Christ. They were afraid of their own religious leaders, whom they knew were out to get Christ. And then verse 15, the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" And this one is really key, because this is disdain, disregard of Christ, a denouncing of his authority. All of this is disbelief. That's a review of what we studied last week. The world's response to Jesus Christ and his doctrine is hatred and complaining and debate and fear of men, but ultimately it's disregard. They disregard what Jesus Christ says, and they discount him as someone they really don't need to listen to. And I want you to see verse 15 again, because I want you to understand what's at the heart of this question. And I think that if your answer was amen to my big, long introductory question, you've probably seen this one. And the Jews marveled. Now, this is the Jewish religious leaders, okay? This is the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. They marvel. This is not a good marveling. This is not like, wow, he's awesome. This is, I can't believe that he has the gall to stand here in the temple and act like he's going to teach us. And they probably said this out loud. The Jews marveled, saying, they probably were saying this out loud in order to dissuade the crowd from paying attention to Christ. And they're saying, how does this man know letters? Letters is a reference to the scriptures. How does this man know letters, since he has never studied? You know what they mean by that, right? He's never studied in our rabbinical schools. What degree does he have from our rabbis? And recall, Jesus Christ would preach with authority, never quoting a single rabbi. They hated that. They hated that. It discredited their schools. It discredited their seminaries, to use today's language. Well, you remember we started looking at Christ's response to the world last week. Did he hate the world? No. Did he complain about the world? No. Did he debate them? No. Did he fear men? No. Did he ever doubt that what he was doing was right? No. What Jesus did in a word, which we're going to get into the details of today, what Jesus did in a word in response to the world and what we must do is he taught. All right, we see that verse 15, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Even though he knew they hated him, even though he knew the Jews were seeking to kill him, Jesus went into the temple, the public place, and he taught with no fear of man, and he taught them the truth. If you want the summary answer of how we must respond to the unbelieving world, we must be willing to speak the truth, right? In love, not fearing what their response will be. But how do we respond to the specific objection, which I think we face often, which is the objection, why should I listen to you? You ever face that one? Maybe with family members, yeah. Yeah, family member, like, why should I listen to you? Like, are you telling me that my priest is wrong? Are you telling me I shouldn't listen to my rabbi? Are you telling me I shouldn't listen to our prophet that we've been listening to, or our pastor, if their pastor is teaching them false doctrine? Because if you teach the gospel, if you speak the gospel to friends, neighbors, loved ones, relatives, coworkers, or strangers, sooner or later, their response is going to come down to this. Why should I listen to you? I want you to see three answers that the world needs to hear. Three answers you need to be equipped with for spiritual battle. Three answers that we all need to hear and that we need to understand, because they are so powerful and they're so useful. And they're right out of the text. Answer number one, verse 16. Here's an answer the world needs to hear. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Now let me tell you what Jesus is not doing here. He is not trying to distance himself from his own doctrine. Hey, it's not me. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. That is not at all what Jesus is doing. What he is doing is he is affirming the truth about his own doctrine, and specifically the truth about its authority. What Jesus says here in verse 16 concerns the authority behind everything that Jesus Christ ever said or taught. When he says, "my doctrine," okay, in verse 16, Jesus answered and said, "my doctrine." What's he talking about? All of it. All of his doctrine, okay? Well, how much doctrine is that? Well, let's see. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for sure. I mean, that's the doctrine of Jesus. But what about Acts? Book of Acts, not Acts, but Acts. Is that Jesus' doctrine? Oh, yeah. Remember, Jesus said he would send his Spirit. He would not leave his apostles as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus came back to his apostles in the Holy Spirit. He said, I will send the Spirit. The Father will send the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is in the apostles. And Acts is all about the teaching of Jesus Christ through his apostles. So we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. We could probably sing a song. So don't let me sing solo here, right? Don't let me sing solo. You don't want that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and a letter to the Romans. Stop. Romans? Is that the doctrine of Jesus? Oh, yeah, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ in glorious detail. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and a letter to the Romans. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews and the book of James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 3 John, Jude and Revelation. Now, is that all the doctrine of Jesus? Man, that's a lot of doctrine. Look what Jesus says concerning all of it. The entire New Testament and more besides. My doctrine is not my own. In other words, this is not human teaching. That's what he means. They were looking at Jesus as merely some rabbi who hadn't studied in their rabbinical schools, who has the gall to stand up in the temple and begin teaching when he's never studied. And so they thought they could discount him. They thought they could reject him. They thought they could disregard him. Can you? Without consequence? No. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. All of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, everything that you and I have to preach in the gospel, that's not ours. That's not coming from us. That's not merely a man's teaching. This is the word of God. Let me just give you a little aside here. Please do not preach merely what you believe. That is distancing yourself from it. Hey, this is just what I believe. Don't ever say that. That is not, number one, it's not accurate. And number two, it's the opposite of Christ's approach. Jesus is being bold here. He's not in the slightest distancing himself from his doctrine. On the contrary, he's exalting his doctrine to the level of, listen, this is the word of God. You cannot disregard this without consequence. That's what Jesus is saying. So let me ask you this. What all does Jesus have things to say about? Because he says my doctrine. In other words, my teaching, the things I teach about. So let's consider some subjects that Jesus addresses in his doctrine. Well, there's some easy ones, right? Does Jesus talk about God? Yes. So everything that he says about God is from God, and you should believe it. Does Jesus talk about himself? Oh, yeah. Jesus talks much about himself. So everything Jesus says about Jesus is the word of God, including when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. He is God in the flesh. All right, so Jehovah's Witnesses, who reject that outright, that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, you should not listen to them. Right, because Jesus spoke about Jesus and clearly declared that he is eternal God come in the flesh, as do all the apostles. And we declare that. And we say, look, that is not coming from me. This is the word of God. This is the doctrine of him who sent me. So Jesus spoke subjects that Jesus addressed. God, himself, the Holy Spirit, sure. Man, what about how sinful man is? How about when Jesus says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Whose doctrine is that? God's doctrine. Jesus says, my doctrine isn't mine. This isn't just me saying. This is the God of heaven saying there is not there's not anyone on the earth who does good and doesn't sin. That's Solomon's word in Ecclesiastes 7. Same thing. So, subjects that Jesus addressed. Man, sin, salvation, the church, the end times. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. Whose doctrine is that? God's. Anyone who says there are many ways to God is a liar. There are not many ways to God. There's one way to God, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Good. Acts 4:12. That's the doctrine of God. But that's not all that Jesus talks about. He talks about heaven, hell, judgment, prayer, faith, false teachers, good works, evil works, the righteous, the wicked, angels, demons, the devil, marriage, divorce, remarriage, family, parenting, love, compassion, forgiveness, the Word of God, evangelism, discipleship, counseling, and on and on and on. And all of it that we have in one book is the Word of God. So, let me ask you this question by way of application. How much of this can you reject and not be guilty of great sin deserving of judgment? None of it. But that happens all the time. Even in churches. Even in churches, there are people who say, well, look, I will never believe that Jesus is the only way. Or I had a Christian tell me, a professing Christian tell me, I will never believe that some wretched, worthless sinner at the end of life could suddenly believe in Jesus and enter into the kingdom of heaven, but some Muslim pediatrician who's been taking care of babies his entire life is not going to enter in. I said, well, you don't understand the gospel. It isn't our doctrine. We didn't come up with this. This is the doctrine of God, that there is no other way for anyone to be saved than through faith in Jesus Christ. And it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that anyone can be saved. All of it is the teaching of God. Beloved, this is an answer the world needs to hear. And you say, well, how does that work? As soon as you can tell that someone is rejecting what you say, which is often, right? You're telling someone the gospel, you tell them any truth of the Bible. As soon as you can see that they're rejecting what you say, you can say, well, you know, I mean, this doctrine isn't mine. It's the doctrine of the one who sent me, Jesus Christ. This is the doctrine of God. I'm telling you what God says, that there's none righteous, no, not one. This is what God says, that Christ is the only way to be saved. This is what God says, that other things are false religions. That no man can be justified by his works. So what's your attitude towards the teachings of Jesus Christ? Do you heartily agree with Jesus Christ that his doctrine, all of it, is not his own but God's and worthy to be received and believed? If so, praise God. That is the grace of God. You understand that all of this is coming from God. Not everyone understands that. In fact, I don't know the statistic. I would guess the vast majority of the world today, I would guess the vast majority of people in Pueblo do not know that Jesus' doctrine is not merely his own, but it's God's. And so that raises a question, which leads us to the next answer they need to hear. How can anybody really know that? Like if you were to say, hey, this isn't just me talking, this is the doctrine of God. They could say, well, you can't know that. How can you know that? How can anyone know that? Huh. Here's the answer they need to hear, John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, he will know. He will know concerning this doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Now, what is this truth concerning? Jesus is declaring a truth here. What does it concern? It concerns how it is that anyone, any sinner, could possibly know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the doctrine of Jesus Christ is from God. Well, there's other ways to say this. This is addressing how is it that anyone can know that the gospel is true? How is it that anyone could know that there's none righteous and no, not one? How could anyone know that Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for all the sins of everyone who would ever believe? How could you really know that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day? Because you cannot go to Jerusalem today and get all the evidence for everything the Bible says. You can't. It's buried, right? You can get some, but you can't get it all. And so their question, which to a degree is a legitimate question, is how could I know this? Here's the answer. If anyone wills to do his will, promise, he will know. Well, that verse, there's no way I can cover all the doctrine in that verse this morning. And next week we're going to have this fun little, I think it's going to be titled The Theology of John 7:17. I hope you'll come. It's really interesting. But I'll just give you a couple hints, okay? How many conditions are there for knowing concerning Christ's doctrine that it's from God? One, John 7:17. See it? There's just one condition. If anyone wills to do his will. How broadly does that condition apply? Universal. If anyone. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your past is. And in this case, to whom is Jesus speaking? The Jewish religious leaders. And what is he exposing? What's he exposing? Do they know that his doctrine is from God? Shake your head this way. No. Are they willing to do God's will? Shake your head this way. No. Do they think they are? Yes. They are completely deceived. Listen, this is harsh truth, but as is every Jewish person today who rejects Jesus as their Messiah. They think they're doing the will of God. They aren't even willing to do the will of God. What is the will of God concerning Christ? That you believe in him. That you receive him as the Messiah. And that they are not willing to do. There's a ton more here, but understand this. This truth, even without any explanation, is a truth that you can pass on to anyone who questions the doctrine. You tell somebody about Jesus Christ, you tell them any part of the gospel, and you see that they are discounting it, they're denying it, they're rejecting it, they're thinking that they cannot believe it and be okay. Start with this. Well, you need to know, my doctrine is not my own. It's the doctrine of him who sent me. This is the word of God. I mean, I can show you from Scripture. It's always good if you can show them. I can show you from Scripture that what I'm telling you is true. Oh, you can't know that's true. I'll tell you what, if anyone wills to do his will, God's will, then he'll know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether we speak on our own authority. You can take that truth and directly apply it in evangelism. This is apologetics 101, right? Apologetics is the study of what the Bible says concerning how to respond to the unbelieving world. 1 Peter 3:15 is the ultimate apologetics text, right? We're to be always ready. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, being always ready to give a defense, an apology, an answer to anyone who asks you concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and in fear. Jesus is teaching us how to respond. He's answering their unbelief. And answer number one is, this doctrine is not just mine. It's the doctrine of him who sent me, the doctrine of God. And you can know it. Truth number two is, if anyone wills to do his will, he will know then concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority. And what this says about the Jews is that they were not willing. Turn back for a moment to John 5. John 5. And recall what Jesus said. John 5, 39. Speaking again to unbelieving Jews, probably the same ones that he's speaking to in John 7. He says in John 5, 39, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are what? Not willing to come to me that you may have life. Turn over to John 6, verse 40. John 6, verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. But what are the Jews not willing? They're not willing to do the will of God. They're not willing to receive Jesus as their Messiah. This is the problem with the unbelieving world. They're not willing to receive Jesus. They're not willing to come to Christ. They're not willing to trust him. Now think about that. Is that an intellectual problem? It is not. It's a moral problem. The problem with the unbelieving world is not that they don't have enough information or not enough evidence, which I'm sure the book Evidence That Demands a Verdict is probably a good book in many ways. But please do not ever approach the unbeliever as though the unbeliever is here as judge and your job is to bring all the evidence so that they could render a verdict. They are not able to do that. Bring to them the word of God, which is the power of, bring them the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. That's what they need, and this is gospel truth. These are gospel truths the unbelieving world needs to hear. Truth number one, this doctrine, it's not my own. It's not merely my own. It's the doctrine of him who sent me. It's God's word. And you can know it. If anyone is willing to do his will, then he'll know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own. The problem with the unbelieving world is not intellectual, it's moral, and the same is true of the world today. So let me ask you, do you know? I'm not asking, do you believe? I'm asking, do you know that the teaching of Jesus is from God? If so, you know what that says about you? By the grace of God, you were willing to do God's will and believe in Jesus Christ. And I say by the grace of God because he's the one that made us willing. No man can come to me except the Father draws him. God in his grace drew you to his Son. Part of that was he made you willing to listen to what he had to say and to believe. But listen, if you're here today and you're here today as an unbeliever, you don't have Christ. You don't know Christ. You don't have a living relationship with the God of heaven. Listen, you need to know this. Your problem is not intellectual. It's moral. And if you will be willing to do the will of God, that is, trust Christ, then you'll know. The gospel is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, not only from sin, but from ignorance. Right? You'll be saved from darkness. And only then, when you trust in Christ, will you know the truth about God, man, sin, salvation, the church, end times. Only then will you know the truth about heaven, hell, judgment, prayer, faith, false teachers, works, righteousness, wickedness, angels, demons, the devil, marriage, divorce, remarriage, family, parenting, love, compassion, forgiveness, the word of God, evangelism, discipleship, counseling, and 1,000 other topics. You will only know the truth about those things when you come to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you will be following some other guru, some other teacher, some other voice, and you will be led astray. What am I giving you? Answers the world needs to hear. And the third one is this. And I'm going to word it, I'll read it, verse 18. I'm going to word it a little bit differently than it's here. Verse 18. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Oh, the truth here is simply this. Jesus is worthy that you should believe in him. He is the one who is worthy above all that you should trust him. You should be willing to do God's will and trust him. Why? Because he's true and there's no unrighteousness in him. Notice what Jesus says first. He says, he who speaks from himself. Now, who does he have in mind in the context? The Pharisees, the Jews, the rabbis who had their schools, right? So much of what they said was coming not from God, right? They were teaching the traditions of men as though it was the word of God. And Jesus is taking a shot at that. Not only them, though, Jesus is stating the truth about all who are like them who speak from themselves. I looked up, and you can look this up. I'm not going to give you the list. You can look up modern-day false teachers, and the list is as long as your arm, as they say. Big, long list of modern-day false teachers. Well, we know what they're seeking, don't we? Look what it says. He who speaks from himself, really speaking about religious teachers. People who stand up in a position of authority and trust and speak as though they're speaking from God. If they're speaking from themselves, they're seeking their own glory. They're seeking the praise of men. I mean, that's true. The false teachers that are on, you know, TBN and all these channels today, I mean, and they get praise of men. I mean, they get money, big time. They get followers. They get book deals. But Jesus puts his finger right on what they're seeking, their own glory, not God's. But what about Jesus? But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, that's Jesus Christ. And here are two reasons why you should believe him. Really, three. The first reason is he's seeking the glory of God. The second one is he's true. And the third one is there's no unrighteousness in him. Jesus Christ was only ever seeking the glory of God. And Jesus Christ, in all of his teaching, was only telling the truth. He never said a false thing. There was never a false doctrine that came from his lips. And Jesus says, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Zero. So know this. Anyone who ever rejects Christ in the gospel, it's not because they find some unrighteousness in it, because there isn't any. And it's not because they find some unrighteousness in Jesus Christ, because there isn't any. It's because there's unrighteousness in them. That's the problem. And so their need is not more data, more information. Their need is someone who will just faithfully proclaim the gospel, tell them the truth, speak truths that expose their error, and even confront them in sin. Look what Jesus says next, verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps it. How many of the Jews kept the law of Moses? Not one. How many Jews today keep the law of Moses? Not one. How many religious people today who live apart from Jesus Christ are keeping the Ten Commandments? Not one. What is Jesus doing? He's simply telling them the truth about themselves. Listen, you know the Ten Commandments, don't you? You don't keep them, right? And we, many of us, we love the approach of Ray Comfort, who simply goes through some of them and says, do you consider yourself a good person? Yeah. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever looked at a woman with lust in your heart? Well, you, by your own confession, are a thieving, lying, stealing adulterer at heart. I mean, that's a harsh approach, but it gets the job done, right? And then bring them here. Say, listen, my doctrine is not my own. It's the doctrine of God. We've all sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all fall short of the glory of God. And you too. But there's a Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And then just tell them about Jesus Christ. And when you see that they reject, tell them John 7:16 and John 7:17 and John 7:18 and call them to believe in Jesus Christ. So what basis is there for not believing Jesus Christ? None. If you're here today and you've come into this place or you're hearing this online or something and you're not a believer, know this. The truth is you have no basis for not believing in Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. And really, Christ's command to you would be stop judging him with unrighteous judgment, 7:24. Literally says, stop judging according to appearance. Stop judging with unrighteous judgment. Judge with righteous judgment. The righteous judgment would be to listen to what Christ says. Get into the word of Christ. Listen to what he says. You'll never find any error, and you'll never find any unrighteousness in him. Why do people reject Christ? Why do they reject what he says? Why do they reject the Bible and the gospel and the Christian faith and us as Christians when we speak to them? It is not because they have found unrighteousness in Christ or even in us. It is because they have unrighteousness in themselves. Be bold to point that out. Beloved, these are truths, these are answers the world needs to hear starting here. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, hallelujah. You were willing to do the will of God. You now know that what we have here is from God, but it's not meant just for us, right? Thank you, Vic and Lisa, for leading us in getting the gospel out. But don't say, oh boy, I'm sure glad that Vic and Lisa are all about getting the gospel out to people. Not good, right? We need to be about getting the gospel out to whomever we can, however we can, pray for, look for, seek after opportunities for the gospel and the boldness to speak them. And when they reject, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, give him an answer. You can tell him your testimony and truth. And 7, 16, 17, and 18, John 7, 16 through 18, are great truths that the world needs to hear. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. We pray if there's anyone in this place today who is in darkness still, we pray that today might be the day they would come to the light, that you would convict them in their sin, that you would draw them to yourself, open their eyes and their mind to receive Christ. And Father, for my fellow believers, for brothers and sisters in Christ in this place, Father, give us opportunities for the gospel. Give us boldness. And help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Equip us with your truth that we might serve you faithfully in Christ's name. Amen.